in God's Word this morning as we look at our Sunday school lesson. And just a privilege to be back and have my feet on the ground. Had a great week, though, I'll tell you what. Wonderful week. Accomplished a lot of things and just so many things. Excited about tonight and what we're going to be giving you, and just thrilled about it. So, all right, let's look at Proverbs chapter number 5. And our lesson this morning is on the wisdom of a loving and faithful home. The wisdom of a loving and faithful home. We've been looking at wisdom out of the book of Proverbs and the importance and the value of wisdom in our lives. So we're going to begin this passage, chapter 5, and let's begin with verse number 1 in God's Word. The Bible says, "My son, attend unto my wisdom, and bow thine ear to mine understanding, that thou mayest regard discretion, that thy lips may keep knowledge. For the lips of a strange woman drop as an honeycomb, and her mouth is smoother than oil. But her end is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. Her feet go down to death, her steps take hold on hell. Lest thou shouldst ponder the path of life, her ways are movable that thou canst not know them. Hear me now, therefore, O ye children, and depart not from the words of my mouth. Remove thy way far from her, and come not nigh the door of her house, lest thou give thine honor unto others, and thy years unto the cruel. Lest strangers be filled with thy wealth, and thy labors be in the house of a stranger. And thou mourn at the last, when thy flesh and thy body are consumed, and say, how have I hated instruction, and my heart despised reproof? Have not obeyed the voice of my teachers, nor inclined mine ear to them that instructed me. I was almost in all evil in the midst of the congregation and assembly. Drink waters out of thine own cistern, and running waters out of thine own well. Let thy fountains be dispersed abroad, and rivers of waters in the streets. Let them be only thine own, and not a stranger's with thee." Let's pray this morning. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for, Lord, the wisdom that comes from your word, Lord. And thank you, Lord, that you give wisdom freely, that wisdom comes from God. And Father, we pray that you'd open up the truths of this passage of Scripture to us in our hearts and our lives today. And that, God, you'd just take the word and use it, Lord, in our lives, wherever we're at, for your glory and honor. And Lord, we'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, this passage of Scripture is a very blunt passage of Scripture. And it's referring to wisdom in our families and our home. You know, every home needs faithfulness and love. Every home needs faithfulness and love. But wisdom is the key to keeping faithfulness and love in our homes. If we don't have wisdom, faithfulness and love will depart from our home. And, you know, I've heard people before say different things of about love. You know, somebody once told me that they used to love the one they married, but they don't love that one anymore. And can I tell you, love is a choice. Love is a choice. You can choose to love just like you can choose to hate. Love is something that God, he wouldn't command us to love if we could not do that. So God is teaching us here to have wisdom in our home and in our family so that we keep it together. And when a home falls apart, it's a sad thing. And there's many different reasons why homes fall apart, especially in the time in which we live today. And so we need God's wisdom. We need God's wisdom in our homes and our families. Now, what we have here in Proverbs chapter 5 is Solomon wanting to impart some wisdom on his son so that when he gets older and when he grows up, that he will have a loving and a faithful home. And you know, it's amazing because faithfulness and love and joy all seem to go together. They all dovetail together. Faithfulness, love, and joy, they are all friends, and they're all connected. And you know, it's funny because when faithfulness is lost or joy is lost, all these other things seem to break down. But God doesn't want that. Amen? God doesn't want that. God wants our homes to be faithful, loving homes, and to marry that one until the day you die. Amen? That's God's purpose. That's God's intent. Now notice here, this passage is given by Solomon to his son to implant wisdom into his home to keep a faithful and joyful life, free of any fleshly influence that might or hurt or affect a blessed home. And boy, Solomon warns his son about that, and he's teaching him some things that he needs to know. So now wisdom is the key to our home. Wisdom is the key to our home. If we're wise, our homes will be the right kind of homes. Now notice here, the Bible teaches us some facts about wisdom and just some basic facts that we ought to understand. And the first one is that we live in a world of fleshly influences. I mean, they're everywhere you go. Everywhere you go, there's fleshly influences. And the devil just keeps taking the fleshly influences to a worse and worse degree. It doesn't get better. The influences out there, they just keep getting worse. The world just keeps getting worse and worse. You know, the Bible reminds us of that. The Bible says evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse. They don't get better. They just come up with new and more evil ways to influence us. And, you know, we're all saved here today, but salvation doesn't mean that you got rid of the flesh. When you got saved, we still are housed in this flesh. And so we have to understand that we live in a world of fleshly influences. All right. Secondly, the Bible teaches us that knowledge of this fact is important. You know, we have to know and understand that there's a side to all of us that's fleshly. Right? And that fleshly side doesn't please God. It doesn't want to please God. That fleshly side wants to do whatever it feels good to do. It's very impulsive. It's very self-centered, but it doesn't bring joy. It doesn't bring happiness. It doesn't bring, as the Bible in this passage calls, life. You know, sin is not really living. That's not really living. Being a conqueror in Christ, that is really living. Being an overcomer when these things may tempt us, but when we have God's grace and his power working in our life and in our heart, we can overcome anything. Anything we can overcome. There hath no temptation taken you such as common to man, but God will with the temptation make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. Promise of God. Amen. I love it. I love it when I see people conquered, conquering this old flesh. My brother-in-law, who recently passed away from cancer, I tell you, he lived just a horrible life, was a hippie and a drug addict. And man, I couldn't believe it. Just, you know, let himself go. And when my sister was dating him, I thought, what are you thinking? You know? And but she wasn't living her life for the Lord at that time either, you know. And she has drifted from the Lord and met this guy. And man, I thought, boy, there's not much good going to come of that. one day at the kitchen table, my other brother-in-law witnessed to him. He got saved. Changed his life. I mean, you could see the change immediate. He got in church, started growing. And I'll never forget, he and I were laying sod one day, and he was asking question after question after question. And he didn't grow up in a Christian home, but he was hungry. He wanted to learn, and he got saved. And I'll tell you what, he ended up becoming a police detective and a deacon and a treasurer in the church from that lifestyle. And when he passed away, that church was packed with people that he had influenced in his life. And you know, that is a fulfilled life. That's a joyful life. You know, God wants that kind of life for everybody. And I'll never forget seeing a row. There was a row of police cars. They shut down the town, and the row of police cars came through town. 85 vehicles with their lights on. And just to honor his life. And I saw the guy 30 years ago, what he was like, and saw what God did in his life. And he was a conqueror. He was a conqueror. And you know, some people don't think that they can be conquerors. I want to tell you what. The Apostle Paul, if he could become a conqueror, and my brother TJ can, anybody can. Amen? And you know, it's a testimony not to us. It's a testimony to the grace of God in our life. And so he had this conquering. So we have to understand here what he's teaching his son is that, you know, this flesh, this world that we live in is full of the flesh. And if you're influenced by it, it will destroy the joy and the peace that God intended for a faithful and happy home. It will. It'll destroy them. So he's saying, know this. Know some facts. Don't be ignorant about the fact that we are fleshly creatures. Don't be ignorant about that. My flesh wants its own way, but that way is not good. Amen. You say, but I'll tell you what, God's power is greater than this flesh. If we will allow God's power to work in our lives, allow his word too to work in our life, then we can be conquerors in Christ. Now, thirdly, notice that wisdom is given from God to teach us to prepare our hearts to avoid these pitfalls so that joy can prevail in the homes. And this is what Solomon's teaching his son. He's saying, now when you grow up and you, Lord willing, get a wife and you get married, he said, I want to teach you how to have a joyful life and a joyful home and a joyful family. So this is the instructions that he gives him. And so let's look at it. Let's break down the outline here. Number one, verses 1 and 2 teach that wisdom is needed before temptation occurs. Now that word before should be underlined. Wisdom is needed before the temptation occurs. You know, I need God's word. I need wisdom today because I may face a temptation tomorrow. And I need it tomorrow because I may face the temptation on Tuesday. So I need God's word to protect me. I need God's word to be in me. I need that wisdom that God has in my heart and in my life. Because we live in this fleshly world. And this fleshly world is out there. And these influences are going to be there. And so we have to understand that. And Solomon's challenging his son with these facts. And notice in verses 1 and 2 what he challenges his son. He challenges his son in his lips. I think that's interesting. And here I think is where he's going with that. Look at verse number 2. He says that thou mayest regard discretion, that thy lips may keep knowledge. And what he's doing is he's challenging his son here to be discreet with his words to the opposite gender. Because words can influence for wrong as well as right. So he's saying now, If you're married, then use discretion in your words when you talk to the opposite sex. When you talk to somebody of the opposite gender, you have to be careful that you don't just get on an emotional level and you get to a place where that old flesh gets stirred up. Well, I'll tell you what, God's people can get in trouble on those places and those times in life. And that's pretty blunt, isn't it? I mean, it gets blunter in the passage of Scripture. But, you know, I wonder how many people have just said the wrong kind of thing, weren't discreet in their words of the opposite gender, and the devil made a big deal of it. Before long, an adulterous problem occurred in life. And that problem destroyed all the peace and the joy that God wanted to give that faithful, happy home. See, so be discreet. I think it's a good thing, man, when you go to the workplace, talk about your wife. Amen? Talk about your wife. Tell everybody, let everybody know you think she's the most beautiful woman in the world. Amen? Let them know. Let them know it. Show them your wedding ring. Amen? I cannot get this wedding ring off, and I don't want it off. That ring has been on that finger for 30 years. It's never come off. I can't even get it off if I tried. Amen? But I don't want to get it off. Hey, listen. Let everybody know you're married. And when you speak, and Solomon's encouraging his son, when you speak to somebody of the opposite gender, don't speak in innuendo. Don't speak in tempting words or fishing for the wrong kind of thing. That's coming from the wrong heart. And God's, and Solomon's teaching his son here, be discreet with your lips. All right? Now notice, secondly, wisdom is needed to avoid what's called the strange woman. The Bible talks about a strange woman here. Verses 3 through 6. Now notice verse 3. For the lips of a strange woman drop as an honeycomb, and her mouth is smoother than oil. Now notice, she influences with her lips. She's alluring. She's trying to allure with her lips. Notice, she's very smooth in how she says it. And, you know, she knows what she's doing. She knows what she's doing. But sometimes a man is dumb to that. Sometimes men are dumb to those things. Am I being blunt enough today? I mean, I can get blunter. Right? But I'm trying to be discreet too, amen? As long as you get the point, right? So he's saying here, all right, not only can you use the wrong words in how you talk, but this strange woman, and really it's talking about an adulterous woman, is saying, all right, she's alluring, she's speaking smooth, she's saying what that man wants to hear. And this is what Solomon's teaching his son, be careful of. Be careful of that. You know, we got to be careful in our world. Amen? Because our life, our testimony, our example, our faithfulness are all wrapped up in how careful we are in the world. Now, I don't think that means you should just walk on eggshells everywhere you go, but I think we should understand and have some wisdom lodged in our heart that these situations can arise in our life, and we have to keep God's wisdom there to guide us. So he describes her. Solomon wants his son to know. He says, verse 4, her end is bitter as wormwood. How many of you know what wormwood is? I looked up the word wormwood, and it's the same thing as the old poison called hemlock. It's actually a plant that grows in the desert that is completely poisonous. And I think it was Plato or Socrates or one of them that committed suicide by drinking hemlock. I'm not sure about that, but hemlock is a poison that will kill somebody. And this is what she's equated to. And she's saying, you know, and so Solomon's saying, son, there's death there. There's death, there's poison there, there's trouble there. It may seem alluring in the beginning, but there's trouble there. There's death. So he's trying to get him to identify how it is and what to do and to use wisdom in the situations. Now, notice says also verse 5, where her direction is. Her feet go down to death. Her steps take hold on hell. Well, she's not, I don't want to go that direction, right? So he's saying this is the direction she's heading. And if you get attached to her, she's going to take you with her, right? Her feet are heading in that path. It emphasizes her feet. You know, in other words, that's where she's headed. So wisdom can protect us from these things. All right. Then next we see the Bible says her ways are movable. Look at verse 6. Lest thou should ponder the path of life, her ways are movable. I looked up that word movable. The word movable means wandering. And it's the same word as fugitive in the Bible. How many of you know the first fugitive in the Bible? Who was it?
Cain.
Cain was the first fugitive. And God cast Cain out and said, a fugitive and a vagabond, you'll be in the earth. And he was. In other words, he just wandered. He had no solidity in his life. He just wandering around. And this is the word that describes this woman here. So, she's wandering. So, again, wisdom is there. And so in verse number 8, he says, remove thy way far from her. Come not nigh the door of her house. He's saying, son, stay away. Stay away. Why? Because that's an enemy to a joyful and a faithful home. Just stay away. You know, there's some things in life that we should just steer clear of. Amen? Amen? Amen. Just, I'm not even going to go there. And you know, the Bible even talks about being simple concerning evil. In other words, we shouldn't want to know how the evil lifestyles are. I want to be dumb about that. I want to be stupid about evil lifestyles. I don't want to know. That's knowledge I don't need. And it's knowledge none of us need. Because our goal is not to try to know knowledge, or to know evil. Our goal is to know more about God and His ways and the pure life that God gives. So God says, stay away. Just don't head that direction. All right. Now, number 3, he says, wisdom is needed to avoid bad results. Now, this kind of lifestyle brings bad results. And Solomon's warning his son. He said, you know, it's not going to give you a happy life. You're just not going to be happy if you live this kind of life. You're not going to be fulfilled. And so he's teaching him there's results from it. Now, notice what he says, verse 9. Lest thou give thine honor unto others and thy years unto the cruel. He loses honor. He loses honor. And boy, that ought to be a challenge to us. Because honor is something that you want to go to your grave with. Amen? Honor. Honor. Verse 10. Lest strangers be filled with thy wealth and thy labors in the house of a stranger. You know what he's saying? He's saying everything you work for in your life should be enjoyed in your older years as a husband and wife. But instead, everything you've worked for goes to a stranger. And that stranger gets what you have worked for. Boy, that's no way to live. That's no way to live. And but yet, this is in our world today. And you know, God's trying to teach us ahead of time that if we get wisdom ahead of time, it will help us be able to see what's going to go on down the certain paths of our life. You know, I'm amazed at how quick people make major decisions in their life. And when they get married, they discount all the bad things about that person just because they want to just get married. But you know, there are worse things than being married, than being single. Being married to the wrong person, that's worse. That's worse. And wisdom should teach us this. Wisdom should teach us this. Okay? And then he talks about mourning comes, verse 11. And thou mourn at the last when thy flesh and thy body are consumed. See, it doesn't bring him joy in the end. It may have brought a instant satisfaction, but it didn't bring joy and peace in the end. What did it bring? It brought mourning, sadness. And notice what he said, verse 12 here. He regrets that he didn't hear wisdom in the beginning. Verse 12. And say, how have I hated instruction and my heart despised reproof. He said, I just didn't listen to instruction. Now remember when we talked in the first chapters about wisdom, and we saw these passages about wisdom has a voice, wisdom crieth in the streets. Wisdom definitely has a voice. It's a voice that speaks to us internally. It's this voice that says, whoa, you better hold off on that one. Don't go that way. And so we have to listen to this voice. So Solomon's teaching his son here, says, there's a voice, there's an internal voice that's in you, and if you'll listen to it, it will keep you from trouble. How many times do we dismiss that voice? How many times do we say, oh, I know what I should have done, but do we do that? Am I the only one here that does that sometimes? Yeah. And so we have to understand that's not what God wants us to do. But mourning eventually comes, and regret. Regret. Oh, listen. You know what I know about every marriage? Every marriage has its ups and downs. You'll have some ups and downs in your marriage, right? And one man said one time, he says, you know, sometimes in a marriage, the grass looks greener on the other side of the fence. You know why that is? It's because there's a sewer on the other side of the fence. Yeah. Hey, I want to tell you something. This kind of lifestyle is only satanically influenced to bring destruction, heartache, hurt, pain, mourning, regret. These are the characteristics of this kind of lifestyle. And you know, God doesn't want that for us. God wants us to be an overcomer. God wants us to have wisdom in the beginning so that these things cannot take hold of our heart and our mind. We know, I'm staying away from that. I'm not going there. And so these are things of wisdom. But now verse 22 also shows that it has a grip on him. Verse 22. His own iniquity shall take the wicked himself, and he shall be holden with the cords of sin. You know, it's hard to break. Somebody gets involved in this, it's hard for them to break that mentality. They're holden with a cord. Bible says it's. They've developed a wrong mentality. They're holding with that. But you know what they need? Let me tell you something. And by the way, someone who falls into these situations, let me tell you something. It's not over. If a person just gets right with God, does the right thing, God can restore a lot of good things in their life. But I'll tell you what. Oftentimes, they're holden by that cord. They're held. You know, when the devil grabs a hold of somebody, he doesn't want to let go. He wants to hang on as long as he can. And that old flesh is kind of the same. It wants to hold on to that, but, you know, it does not bring good fruit in our life. So we've got to be wise. And that's why this lesson is in the book of Proverbs. It's because wisdom can prevent these things in our life. All right, let's look lastly now, verse number 4. Wisdom is found in a loving and faithful home. Look at the second half of verse 18. It says, rejoice with the wife of thy youth. Now, that means to me that you got married when you were young and you stayed with her and you stay happy. Amen. Amen? Amen. You say, can you stay in love? Sure. I mean, when you're 70, you may not have the same energy as when you're 20, right? It may be a little different, but you can stay in love. You can stay in love. Amen. I told my wife one day, I said, honey, I just want to grow old and fat together. She said, well, we'll grow old together. She didn't like the other part. Amen. I'm getting there myself. Amen. The fat part's taking a hold of me. Amen. But can I say, the key to joy in the home and the family is just keep loving your wife. Amen. Amen. Keep loving your wife. It's a choice. It's a choice. Secondly, leave an example to your children. You know, my children are going to grow up and have a marriage too. And I want them to have an example because it makes their marriage easier if they have a right example. And, you know, if a child grows up in a broken home, you know, that's not their fault. That's not their fault at all. But it's going to be harder for them to understand and develop the right kind of home in their life without an example in that home. So it helps our children when there's an example in the home, and when that example follows the Lord and is faithful, then it's so much easier for our children to grow up and be faithful to each other by that example. All right, and then verse 21. Notice verse 21. It says, for the ways of man are before the eyes of the Lord, and he pondereth all his goings. Now, he's speaking in context here about this loving relationship between a husband and a wife. That's the context. He's saying that the Lord sees that loving relationship, and God blesses that faithful, loving relationship. Amen? God blesses that relationship. God sees it. And what it means is that he recognizes our faithfulness and our fidelity to each other. Now, aren't you glad about that? Amen. Aren't you glad that God sees and knows and blesses and rewards our faithfulness and our fidelity to our mate? That's a blessing. Amen? Amen? God sees that. You know why? It's because the home wasn't instituted by man. The home was instituted by God. It's his plan for our lives. Now, I know some don't get married, and, you know, and the Bible even talks about some that don't get married, and not to belittle those that don't get married if they, you know, they're really trying to serve the Lord and live for the Lord. But if you get married and you choose to be married in your life, then choose faithfulness and fidelity all of your life. And overcome, be an overcomer of this old flesh in our life. Because I'll tell you what, the temptations today are greater than I think they've ever have been before. And in any society. But there is joy and happiness and peace that is wrapped up in a faithful and loving home. there's a lot of joy there. Amen. A lot of happiness, a lot of peace, a lot of times together. Sometimes we sit around and just laugh. Amen. Have a good time. And then I wear out quickly and got to go to bed. Right? But hey, I want to tell you something. Strive for wisdom in your home and your family. And us men especially, strive to understand that this old world is going to try to put its fleshly temptations on us. But real joy and happiness is found in the wisdom that God has given our home and our family. And Solomon's teaching that to his son. Solomon wants his son to know that. He wants his son to be this child that grows up and loves his wife and loves his family. And this is the point of the passage. Because God will see it and God will bless their life. Because it's God's plan. Amen? You know, you can't get away from God's plan and be blessed. When you're in God's plan for life, I'll tell you what. You'll have some ups and downs, no doubt. God didn't say our path would be perfect. But he did say, when we're living for him, we're following him as best we can, there's going to be some blessings from God that come into our lives. Amen? And God sees the life of the faithful and the godly. And you know what? I'll tell you what. One day we're going to die and get to heaven. We're going to be so glad that we were conquerors in Christ. Amen. One day when I get to heaven, I want to hear those words, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. I'll make you rule over many things. And that is the goal that every Christian ought to strive for, is to hear that voice of God, well done. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Amen. All right, we're going to stop there today. We'll pick up in chapter number 6 next week. All right, let's pray. Father.